And welcome to the show, everyone. I'm your host, Dr. TJ. With me, as always, is Aaron.
Hello.
Talkative as ever. Yeah. Talkative as ever. So today on our show, we are going to talk about magnesium. We've had a lot of requests to do some special shows on like specific nutrients, and magnesium is one that comes up a lot. I think people understand that magnesium is pretty beneficial.
Well, to some extent, but then also, how many times have we gotten questions and the simple answer, you know, they're looking for something very complicated and we're like, are you taking any magnesium? Are you getting any magnesium into your diet?
So, and then the answer is,
I don't know.
I don't know.
Usually, like, and
it's magnesium in chips.
Right. Does pizza have magnesium?
What about my beer? Does my beer have magnesium in it? Yes.
But it's amazing how many things can be solved by magnesium. So because it is something that is so easily available to most people, you can get it, you know, in quality supplements. We're going to go over it. So if, you know, you're suffering from any of these problems, you know, okay, well, a good place to start is looking at your magnesium intake.
Yeah, you're not, for the most part, you're not going to hurt yourself by taking a little bit of magnesium. It does the body good.
For the most part.
Well, there may be certain individuals that you take, if you already have low blood pressure and you take a bunch of magnesium, you could potentially make your blood pressure even lower, and that's not necessarily a good thing. But
most people don't have that problem.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. Most people have high blood pressure.
Yeah.
But magnesium, one of, if not the most important mineral in the body, it does lots and lots of jobs. Because it's so important and does so many things, This is the main reason why magnesium deficiency is such a huge issue with so many different people, and not necessarily even a medically diagnosed magnesium deficiency, where you check, you know, serum magnesium level or red blood cell magnesium level and you're low. You can have subclinical deficiencies where you're just not getting enough on a daily basis. You may get some, you just don't get enough, and that can be problematic long term as well. There's a guy out there. He's a neurosurgeon and a pain medicine pioneer. This guy he's very famous for this. His name's Norman Shealy. He's a medical doctor and a PhD, and he's been quoted as saying every known illness is associated with a magnesium deficiency, and it's the missing cure to many diseases. I don't know if I would go 100% that far, but he's pretty spot on. There are a lot of things that can be helped with magnesium. I mean, magnesium, not only does it, you know, have its own role, but it helps our bodies to regulate other minerals too. It helps us regulate things like calcium, helps us regulate potassium, and as well as sodium. I mean, all of these things, all of these minerals are extremely important for proper physiologic function and cellular health in general. And magnesium by itself is responsible for over 300 biochemical, physiological functions within the body. I mean, that's a lot of jobs for one little mineral, right? I mean, a lot of people know about glutathione. Glutathione is our body's master antioxidant. And you're maybe out there thinking, TJ, what are you talking about? Glutathione, this is a magnesium talk. Well, if you don't have magnesium, you can't actually manufacture your own glutathione. That's how important this stuff is. And so there's a lot of people have no idea that you need magnesium to make glutathione. And so they may be out there trying to take glutathione or glutathione precursors as supplements, but they're not getting themselves any magnesium. Well, you're missing the rate-limiting step. You're not able to manufacture
it. Well, and it's funny because just listening to you talk, I mean, I know the basics of this, but I mean, it really is kind of hitting home how important it is to make sure that you're going to someone who understands all of these things.
Right.
I mean, because if, you know, I've seen a lot of things on social media and, you know, and people talking and saying, you know, talking about glutathione and, you know, and taking a precursor. It's so important as an antioxidant, but nobody's ever, I've never seen anything about the fact that you need magnesium.
And we're going to talk, you brought up glutathione. We'll throw that out there.
I brought up glutathione.
Oh, I did. Yes, you're correct. I did. you know, there are a lot of people out there that are really misinformed. So many people believe that glutathione just can't be taken orally. And that couldn't be farther from the truth. You can take glutathione orally and you can absorb it. It's just the form of the product that matters. And we're going to talk about the different forms of magnesium that are available too and why certain ones are way better for you to take to increase your magnesium levels than others. But like glutathione, you can take liposomal glutathione and absorb a lot of it. Almost all of it. And so just
most people aren't taking liposomals though, right?
A lot of people aren't, but you know, if you're coming to our clinic, you are.
Right.
You guarantee you're taking liposomals. But there's just too much, so many people out there that think they have an idea of what's going on, and they're just perpetuating misinformation that either A, they just don't know that there's this advanced stuff out there, or they're just choosing to ignore it.
Right.
Either way, it's pitiful.
And one of the things, and I know we talk about this a lot, is, you know, make sure that you're talking to someone who is qualified to be giving that advice. I think one of the most frustrating things to us are the so-called functional medicine doctors who are out there who don't have training in functional medicine and are
right.
giving this sort
right.
of advice. And we're thinking, it sounds really good. But if you actually know what you're talking about, it's incorrect.
Right.
And it's so that part is really frustrating because it, you know, it makes people, or I'm afraid it will make people skeptical of functional medicine when, if it's practiced correctly, is the best way to get people healthy.
Right. Right. So let's talk a little bit about causes of magnesium deficiency. There are a lot of different things that can cause someone to be deficient in magnesium. Used to be that we thought that magnesium deficiency was an extremely rare or very rare thing to come across. You wouldn't think that, oh, this person's magnesium deficient. But it's a lot more common than what a lot of doctors believe. I mean, there are doctors out there that say, oh, well, we've never had a nutrient deficiency besides vitamin D and B12 in my practice forever. Well, that's when I look at them and want to ask, well, how many times have you ran a red blood cell magnesium on someone? Most of the time, the answer is going to be never. Right. So they didn't even check the other nutrients. So
right.
how can they possibly give this information and know that they're correct? But
why?
What's that?
But why?
Why
are
what?
We seeing magnesium deficiencies?
Well, we're seeing magnesium deficiencies for a lot of different reasons. Soil depletion. I mean, you know, modern agricultural practices do not replenish magnesium back into the soil. About the only thing that gets sprayed on modern farms is anhydrous ammonia, which is not really good for human consumption. And they'll put this stuff called NPK, which is phosphorus, potassium, and nitrogen, back onto that. Where's the magnesium going in? And you know, these crops, especially corn, they take a lot of magnesium to grow. The plants need these nutrients to grow and produce the crop, but we're just not giving the soil rest. We're just constantly farming this stuff, and so that's a big one. Another one is genetically modified organisms. You know, whatever side of the fence you're on with GMOs, you're on, and you know, you think you're right, we think we're right, whatever it is. You know, GMOs, they have their own. They may have their place. I don't know. There's a lot of research and things out there that suggests that they're not really good for us. And then a lot of people seem to think that they're perfectly fine for us. But they require, you know, these things require chemicals, and chemicals are sprayed on them to kill weeds. That's what the GMO is doing. It's making them resistant to drought. It's making them resistant to, you know, chemicals that they're spraying on the fields like Roundup or glyphosate. You know, that's just a problem, right? And so as these minerals are taken away from the soil, if it's not in the soil, there's no possible way that it's in the plant. And so if it's not in the plant, then there's no way for us to be able to consume it if we eat the plant. So that's one big thing. Another thing, stuff like digestive problems. So we talk a lot on this show about leaky gut. I mean, leaky gut is a malabsorption thing. Your digestive system is not absorbing nutrients the way it's supposed to. You're either A, not breaking things down, or B, things are getting through that shouldn't be getting through. And so we're not able to deal with that. And so there are a lot of people out there that aren't absorbing their nutrients the way they're supposed to. I mean, if you have leaky gut, if you have gut inflammation, there's no possible way that you're absorbing the level of nutrients that you're supposed to be getting. What if you're only absorbing half? Well, what if you're only getting half of your nutrients from the food that you think has all of these nutrients in it? Well, now we're automatically at half of half. You're down to a quarter of a of of the what you consumed as being absorbed? And then is the form of the magnesium bioavailable? Are you actually able to do anything with it once it gets into your system? Like, the answer to these questions many times is, well, no, not really. You're not getting what you think you're getting. You're not absorbing what you think you're absorbing. What is getting in isn't bioavailable. So we have these depleted states where, you know, the body is just robbing Peter to pay Paul just to stay alive. And the body is very good at it. And we know that it's very good at it because this is how we end up with these chronic disease states that just drag us down and cause us to fall apart by parts and pieces rather than die peacefully in our sleep over the age of 100 like we're supposed to.
Yes.
All that rant and we get a yes. Anyway. I mean, it's just there's just so many things out there that are leading towards deficiencies. I mean, chronic disease is just astronomically high in this country.
Right, and medications.
And the amount of medications that people are taking. I mean, we're taking, you know, 10, 12 medications at a time. If you're over the age of 65, it's something like, on average, 13 meds. I mean, that's insanity.
Yeah.
There's no possible way that we know what's going on with interactions with these. It's definitely affecting nutrient status.
Right.
I mean, there are books out there written by pharmacists that talk about what drugs deplete what nutrients. I mean, it's just blatantly out there, research everywhere showing this medication is going to deplete magnesium and calcium and potassium and B12 and vitamin D. I mean, it's just all over the place. And most of medicine just seems to be turning a blind eye to it. And it's
right.
Unfortunate. When we wake up, people, you can do better. Just taking some supplements can make it all the difference in the world.
Yeah.
I mean, so should you worry about a magnesium deficiency? It depends. How about we talk about that when we come back? Should you worry? And then, you know, among other things, we'll get into some symptoms of magnesium deficiency. Right after this break, you're listening to Wellness 101. And welcome back to the show. I'm Dr. TJ, and with me is Aaron. And today we are talking about magnesium. And right before the break, I posed the question, should you worry about magnesium deficiency? In general, probably yes. Most people are deficient in it. But it also depends on your risk factors, and there's symptoms that you can present with when you go to a functional medicine practitioner and you talk about things that may lead them to think, okay, yeah, we definitely need some magnesium, or no, maybe magnesium's not really the issue with you. But I mean, remember, there's only, of all the magnesium that's in your body, only 1% is actually in your bloodstream. So you can have a deficiency. It may not even be discovered by a blood test. This is where this whole thing gets really wonky for a lot of doctors. They're like, well, I've never seen a magnesium deficiency. Yeah, but you're only testing 1%. You're only looking for 1% of this stuff. You got to look.
And that's if they're even running it.
Right. Most of them have never ran it. So they don't even know. So what are the symptoms that you may experience if you're dealing with a magnesium deficiency? There's several. One of them is leg cramps. Lots and lots of people have leg cramps. In fact, 70% of adults and 7% of children experience leg cramps on a regular basis.
Right. And I want to put in with this, because I don't think we talk about this otherwise, but I noticed leg cramps while I was pregnant, which was magnesium helped a ton. And also restless legs.
Yeah.
Was another thing that I want to throw in with leg cramps. I know that's not the same thing.
But I forgot about you, us loading you up on magnesium with all
yes.
that. Yes. I completely forgot. Look at that.
It saved the day because yeah. I was miserable. And I was waking up with, you know, I'd have a Charlie horse in both legs. And it was just.
And it just came out of nowhere.
And it was like multiple times every night. And
that only
went
on for a couple days.
A couple of days. And
we
then,
loaded her up with magnesium.
You know, and then he's like, are you taking magnesium? And I was like, no, because I had stopped most things. I mean, you know, we were really, you know.
It was really honed and focused at that point.
At the beginning, because, you know, you're sick to your stomach a lot. So
right.
I didn't want to be, you know, taking anything that I didn't have to be taking. But the magnesium helped a ton.
And she's still taking a ton of it.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it does. Well, I mean, while I'm breastfeeding, I just think you're losing, you know, I mean, I drink an insane amount of water every day, but still, you know, you are losing a lot of liquid. And so it just, you know, I think you're probably still prone to
Right.
Leg cramps.
Right. So with leg cramps, with the magnesium, so basically magnesium's role here is it has to do with the neuromuscular signals and muscle contraction. So if these things, if magnesium levels are off, the signals get mixed up and then the muscle goes into contraction. And a lot of times it's just a magnesium deficiency that's to blame. And like Aaron said, restless leg syndrome, same thing. That's a warning sign of a magnesium deficiency. And I know a lot of people that come into our clinic that say, oh, yeah, I have restless legs. And, you know, we hit them with some magnesium and they're like, oh, yeah, no, magnesium helped a ton. I don't have the restless legs anymore.
Right. If you have restless legs, and we do, and we may talk about this more later, I don't know, but we do magnesium, you know, magnesium pushes, magnesium
infusions.
IVs.
Yep.
Yeah. And so, it's a really quick way. And we, of course, you know, if you're taking a high quality magnesium supplement, which we also have in our clinic, that can do a lot also. But if you're really suffering from this, an IV or a push, you know, will clear it up very quickly. And
yep.
It is a huge help.
And what's interesting, if we do IVs, if the cramps or the restless legs comes back relatively quickly, that tells us how depleted you are, because if we're able to shut that off for a period of time and then it comes back, it's just telling us that your body is just burning through the magnesium.
Yeah.
Like a car running 300 mile an hour, you're going to burn gas a whole lot faster than you are if you're, you know, driving slowly.
And you need to figure out why you're burning through it so quickly.
That's exactly right. That opens up doors to us figuring out why are you burning this up so much? What stress are you under that's causing this problem?
Right. And that's another reason why, you know, we always kind of push for being seen by a functional medicine practitioner so you know where your starting point is, because you could, you know, magnesium can help a ton, but if you're just taking supplements over and over and over and over again, okay, why are you churning through it so quickly?
Right. So another symptom of magnesium deficiency is actually insomnia. We have lots of people that have insomnia. I know there are some of our listeners out there. I know that you have insomnia. So magnesium deficiency is often a precursor to sleep problems, right? So magnesium is extremely important for this neurotransmitter named GABA, G-A-B-A, or gamma-aminobutyric acid. So GABA, most of our neurotransmitters are excitatory, meaning they make us want to go faster. GABA is one of the very few inhibitory neurotransmitters, meaning it's the braking system for our nervous system. And if we're not able to make the braking system of our nervous system, how are we ever supposed to slow down? We don't. And that's what causes, that can be a leading cause of insomnia. GABA helps us calm down. So if we're not able to make it, we're not able to calm down, that's problematic, right? So how do you fix that? Research has shown around 400 milligrams of magnesium with the right form of magnesium around dinner time or even at bedtime are the best times to help with insomnia. You want to get the stuff in your system till you're actually able to make the GABA. You don't want to you know, be 3 o'clock in the morning wide awake saying, oh, I need some magnesium. It's too late to really help you that day. You're going to be better off if you take it at dinner or just before bed.
But it's one of those things, like you had mentioned before, that you don't really have anything to lose. I mean, there aren't side effects to magnesium
right.
for most people.
No.
So if this could fix your problem, wouldn't you rather be, you know, taking magnesium than a sleeping pill? I think we all would.
Yeah, exactly. Another one is muscle pain and fibromyalgia. So, you know, the cramping that we talked about earlier, muscle pain, these sometimes people will get these two confused. They will think it's the same thing. But think of muscle pain like fibromyalgia type stuff. I mean, fibromyalgia symptoms, magnesium is a huge piece of the puzzle in people that have fibromyalgia. So basically research, it was published in the journal Magnesium Research, unbelievably so, that increasing magnesium consumption reduces pain and tenderness and improved immune blood markers in people that were suffering with fibromyalgia. And a lot of times fibromyalgia is linked to autoimmune. And I agree, this is something that we see a lot. If someone comes in complaining of fibromyalgia or have been diagnosed with fibromyalgia, we're immediately looking into their immune system to figure out where the problem is.
And if you have fibromyalgia, go back on iTunes and listen to our
fibromyalgia talk.
Yeah, talk on fibromyalgia, because we've gotten a lot of response from that, but
right.
It's really, I think, an important one to listen to.
Right. But basically, the research is just, in a nutshell, research on fibromyalgia and magnesium really it all boils down to the same conclusion. People that have fibromyalgia are going to benefit from taking magnesium. And that, you know, the level that you need may vary from person to person, but they're going to benefit. Another symptom of magnesium deficiency is anxiety, right? So again, this kind of goes back to GABA, which we said before, that's the braking neurotransmitter. It's the braking system for the nervous system. You know, as a deficiency in magnesium gets worse, we're not able to make the GABA, so we're not able to calm ourselves down, so we're more likely to become anxious. And when anxiety gets really high in severe cases, then we can end up with anxiety and depression or anxiety and hallucinations or, you know, all three. And nobody wants to have to deal with that. But that's unfortunately, that's something that takes place. I mean, magnesium calms the body. It helps improve mood. There's lots of research out there that suggests that. And, you know, we recommend magnesium to a lot of people to be taking it on a daily basis, especially if they're dealing with depression and things like that. Now, you know, not always is it just straight magnesium. We may be recommending a product that has magnesium in it, but has other things too. Just kind of depends from person to person.
Which, again, is another reason to, if you have someone, you know, who is highly trained in this, you know, telling you what to take, you can save yourself from taking a lot of supplements that aren't going to do you any good,
right,
and kind of tailor, you know, your supplements to exactly what you need.
Largest amount of supplements one person was taking at a time that we saw in our office was 3.5 pages, single spaced. Each line was a different supplement, taking every day.
Why?
Don't know. Well, I do know. I just don't want to talk about it. It's poor information. Let's just put it that way. And, you know, it's just, you get into this, you start falling into this, you start this downward spiral of, well, maybe this will help and maybe this will help and maybe this will help. But there comes a point where that's just too dang much.
Right.
So, anyway.
If you get to that point, you know, I think it's probably time to search out, you know.
Call us, we'll help.
Right, exactly.
Call us, we'll help.
I mean, you know, way before you get to that point, you need to be thinking, maybe there's something else I need to be doing.
Right.
That reminds me of, and I'm kind of side note here, I was looking it was Father's Day cards the other day. And there was one that said, you know, if you're wondering if your child needs to be on a leash, you probably should put your child on a leash. But kind of the same thing is if, you know, I mean, so many times we have people who are like, at what point? I don't know. You know, I was kind of thinking maybe I should come and see you. Like, if you're thinking that,
you should come and see us.
It is definitely time to come. I mean, because if that is crossed, we have people all the time who think that they are 100% healthy and are like, let's just do a workup. And we might find, you know, one or two things. But I mean, and we can fix those. But, you know, if you're already to the point where you're like, I kind of have this going on, it's time to come. I mean, get it fixed now.
Right.
It's
cheaper to do it today than it is tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
100% of the time. So another magnesium deficiency is high blood pressure. Lots and lots of people have high blood pressure in this country. It's really, it's epidemic, really and truly.
And we get questions about it constantly.
Constantly. And so, you know, when you're magnesium deficient, calcium, you're also going to be calcium deficient, and you just can't look at this is another thing why you got to be at a functional medicine practitioner, because calcium in your blood has nothing to do with usable calcium in your body. Two completely different things, and you're not going to be able to take a calcium supplement to raise calcium levels in your blood. It does not work that way, right? But if you're magnesium deficient, you are going to be deficient in calcium, and when you're low in calcium, that leans people towards hypertension. Or basically high blood pressure, right? There was actually a study published in the American Journal of Clinical Nutrition that looked at almost 250,000 people, and they found that when people have a diet that's high in magnesium-rich foods, just a diet, there's not a lot of magnesium really out there in food, it reduces the risk of stroke by 8%. But the big piece of this puzzle is that high blood pressure causes 50% of all strokes in the world. That's a big, big deal. So this is just, I mean, that's just that magnesium from your diet. Imagine if you were taking some magnesium supplements along the way. There's a lot more that can be done. All right, when we come back, we're going to talk about a few more symptoms of magnesium deficiency, and then we're going to get into things like, are you at risk, and what can you do to help? You're listening to Wellness 101. And welcome back to the show, everyone. If you're just tuning in, this is Wellness 101 brought to you by the Institute of Natural Health. I'm Dr. TJ, and with me, as always, is Aaron. And we today are talking about magnesium, and we're talking about its role in the body, symptoms if you're deficient, and that's where we left off. We're running through some magnesium deficiency symptoms. We talked about things like leg cramps and insomnia, fibromyalgia, anxiety, high blood pressure. Another one is type 2 diabetes. One of the four main causes of magnesium deficiency is type 2 diabetes, but that's also a common symptom of magnesium deficiency. So a lot of this research on this is done in the UK. Researchers over there found that when they looked at adults who had low levels of magnesium, they were 10 times more common with new diabetics and 8 times more common with known diabetics. I mean, there are mechanisms at work here that are way too in-depth to get into to talk about on this show with how magnesium and it causes a symptom of type 2 diabetes or type 2 diabetes leads to magnesium deficiency. It's a safety pin. One leads to the other, and just know that that is what's going on. So if you're out there suffering with diabetes, you can basically take it to the bank that you're magnesium deficient. And if you're magnesium deficient, you are much more likely to develop type 2 diabetes, basically is what that boils down to. Another symptom is fatigue, right? So just worn out, exhausted. A lot of chronic fatigue patients are magnesium deficient. I mean, if you're just exhausted all the time, taking a little magnesium for yourself might be one of the best things that you ever did.
And again, why not try it?
Yeah, why not try it? It's not hurting anything, right? Another symptom is migraine headaches. So there's lots of research that links magnesium deficiency to migraines. A lot of it has to do with the balancing of neurotransmitters. There are lots of studies out there that look at varying degrees of dosages for magnesium, anywhere from 350 or so up to 600 milligrams can reduce migraine frequency in the ballpark of 40 to 50%. Again, one of those things where why not try it? If you're suffering with migraines, what's it going to hurt trying to take a little magnesium?
And it's one of the main reasons why people come in or are referred in for intravenous magnesium.
Right. Is definitely. And lastly, the last symptom we're going to talk about today is osteoporosis. Osteoporosis is it's its own thing. We need to do a show on osteoporosis. We haven't done a show on osteoporosis yet, have we?
I don't know.
I don't remember. I don't think we have. We should do a show on osteoporosis. Osteoporosis is a completely different mechanism than what the lies that we've been force-fed. It really doesn't work the way that they claim that it does. A lot of osteoporosis has to do with deficiencies, not just in calcium and vitamin D, but in things like vitamin K and vitamin E and magnesium and vitamin C. Vitamin C is vitally important for people that have osteoporosis. But magnesium is a big piece of this puzzle. And it slows down the development of osteoporosis. Just taking magnesium supplements decreases the rate of osteoporosis development in people. And, you know, if you're taking vitamin D3 out there, try to get some D3 with some vitamin K2. Vitamin K tells the calcium where to deposit, where it needs to go. All right. So I want to move on and talk a little bit about, you know, who's at risk for magnesium deficiency. I'm not going to spend a lot of time on this, but I just want to kind of buzz through some of this because it matters, right? So there are big groups of people, four of them, that are most at risk for magnesium deficiency. First and foremost are people that have gastrointestinal complaints, right? If you have digestive issues, my guess is you have problems with magnesium absorption, right? So minerals...
Well, you're going to have problems with absorption of everything.
Everything,
right?
Minerals are one of the most difficult things to absorb. So if you're having digestive complaints, you're not going to absorb the difficult stuff, right? So GI complaints, people that are dealing with things like celiac or Crohn's disease, they have tendencies to have magnesium deficiencies. Anybody that's done like a gastric bypass or a gastric sleeve all these types of things, chronic constipation, chronic diarrhea, you're definitely indigestion, heartburn, you're going to have problems with absorption of magnesium. Another group at risk is people with type 2 diabetes. So a lot of it, some of it has to do with the increase in urination, but they also deal with insulin resistance. And so that causes magnesium absorption issues. So getting the glucose down can be very helpful for people that have type 2 diabetes. Another group is the elderly. So we have people with GI complaints, people with type 2 diabetes. The third group is elderly, right? As people age, your magnesium levels are going to drop just as a part of aging if you're not supplementing with it. And a lot of the research out there suggests that elderly just don't eat enough food with magnesium in it, but they're also, a lot of them are not taking supplements either. So it's pretty simple to correct. Either eat a lot more magnesium-rich foods or start taking some magnesium supplements. And then lastly are people that are dealing with alcohol dependence. These individuals are having trouble absorbing basically all nutrients, and a lot of it has to do with with all three of the above. People with alcohol dependence have GI problems. They often become diabetic because alcohol is just a very highly refined sugar. And, you know, the longer if you're older, the longer you struggle with alcohol dependence, the more likely you're going to have magnesium deficiency, right? Alcohol is basically, for lack of a better term, it's an anti-nutrient. It stops our body's ability to absorb so many things, like not only magnesium, like B1. People with alcoholism, or not even alcoholism, just drinking alcohol with a meal decreases your ability to absorb vitamin B1. So, I mean, we're talking about two different vitamins just right off the top of my head. And that's not just those two. It's most things is affected. Your absorption is affected when you're consuming alcohol, right? I mean, it just pulls the nutrients out of the cells that your body's trying to use for, you know, growth and health and healing. And it uses them for other things. So, I mean, it's a big thing. So, again, the four most prominent at-risk groups of people for magnesium deficiency are people with GI complaints, people with type 2 diabetes, the elderly, and people struggling with alcohol dependence.
Yes, and I want to throw in there, because I brought this up before, I know that I'm not the only person. I've talked to a number of other, friends, other women who, while they were pregnant, had a big issue with magnesium. So that's another thing. Like, if you are pregnant or breastfeeding, it sets you up to possibly need more magnesium in your diet.
Yes. And why is that? Well, I'll help you out here.
I was going to say, are you asking me?
Yeah. Yes, Dr. Aaron, I would love to hear your take on this. A lot of it has to do with that little baby is developing and growing and is just stealing nutrients from you left and right. Right? It's just, that's what they're doing. They're taking from you, you're taking from them. That's why it's, we've talked about on this show before, if you're looking to become pregnant, pre-pregnancy plan is extremely important in making sure that you are the healthiest woman you can be before becoming pregnant, because that gives your baby the biggest supply of nutrients to pull from when trying to become, when growing, right? And so then when breastfeeding, you want to provide them and supply them with the highest level of nutrients that you possibly can for that as well. So
that makes sense.
Yeah, it does. When you think about it like that, sometimes common sense isn't so common anymore. And when you put some common sense to it, you just go, oh, yeah, that absolutely makes sense. That's just how it works.
Right. And like with a lot of the, groups that we had talked about, magnesium is something that is an easy thing to try and just see if it actually makes a difference. And, pregnancy is one of those things. There are so many things in pregnancy that you're not supposed to take.
Right.
And so I think, I know for myself, and probably most others are like this also, I mean, that's one time when you're just like, I'm not going to risk anything. But knowing that magnesium is something that is safe to try, it is a great starting point if you're having any of these issues, especially like we had talked about, leg cramps, restless legs, or even migraines. A lot of people start experiencing migraines while they're pregnant and
right.
They hadn't had them before.
Right, exactly. And so, yeah, it's like Aaron said, it's very simple. It's very cost effective. It's an easy thing to try to get yourself some magnesium. Now, when we come back, we are going to talk about a little bit about soil depletion and how that's affected magnesium. But then we're going to talk about actual different forms of magnesium supplements.
Right, what you need to actually be looking for if you do want to supplement with magnesium.
And that's going to be a big piece of this puzzle, making sure that you're taking the right supplements. Because as we've said on this show before, not all supplements are created equal. And even in supplements that are, you know, the highest quality, you've got to make sure there are different forms of supplements for very specific reasons. And you want to make sure that you're taking the right form for the right reason. It's the worst thing you can do is take the wrong form and think that you're doing the right thing.
Right. And then, yeah, and that's what people will tend to do and then think, well, it didn't actually help me.
It didn't work. Well, what did you take? And then you find out, oh, it was the wrong form.
Right. And as a layperson, that gets really frustrating.
It does.
Because it's how do you sift through all of this? And that's why we have TJ.
Fair enough. You got me on your team. That's all that matters. All right. We'll get into different forms of magnesium when we come back. You're listening to Wellness 101. And welcome back to the show, everyone. Today, if you've missed it, you've missed a good show. We're talking about magnesium. And now on this last segment, we're going to talk a little bit about soil depletion, and then we're going to talk about forms of magnesium. But soil depletion is so important because it used to be very, very present in our foods. It was everywhere. And modern farming practices have depleted the soil of magnesium, so it's not in there. I mean, you can go back. I mean, I'm no Bible expert by any means, but I vaguely remember somewhere along the line in the Bible that they talked about farming practices. They basically farmed for 6 years. They had a plot of ground, and that was farmed for 6 years, and then it was off a year.
Yeah, 6 years on, 1 year off.
Yeah. And so that's to preserve nutrition.
TJ.
Hey, you know, I'm not just a pretty face.
Yeah.
But, I mean, there are studies even now that show that the produce that we're eating is less in nutritional value than it was just 60 years ago. So in 2011, Scientific American produced this published this report. It was the Organic Consumers Association citing several studies with very similar findings. They found from 75 to 97, an average calcium level in 12 fresh fruits and vegetables dropped 27%, iron levels dropped 37%, vitamin A levels dropped 21%, and vitamin C levels dropped 30%. They found very similar results in a study published in the British Food Journal looking at nutrient data from 1930 to 1980. They saw a 19% decrease in calcium, a 22% decrease in iron, and a 14% decrease in potassium. And another study showed that you would have to eat 8 oranges today to consume the same amount of vitamin A that your grandparents would have needed would have gotten out of just one orange. I mean, these are staggering decreases in nutrient values of food. So there's no possible way to get what we need from food. And you have to remember, the RDA, the recommended daily allowance, that's the minimal amount of a nutrient needed to keep yourself from getting the disease associated with that nutrient, right? So this 90 or 100 milligrams of vitamin C is just enough to stop you from getting scurvy. And I talk to my patients and I say, look, how many times did you eat an orange on a day? And when was the last day you actually ate an orange? Because an orange has 100 milligrams-ish of vitamin C. So there's your daily allowance. And people look at me like, my God, I haven't eaten an orange in years. I'm like, exactly. How much vitamin C did you get all through that time? Of course you're deficient. It blows my mind that people worry about the RDA. RDA is to keep you from getting the disease, not to give you optimal health.
RDA makes you really angry.
It does. It's a hot button for me. But anyway, so soil depletion is really affecting things. So magnesium supplements, there are different forms. You got to pay attention to what you're taking. If a supplement just says magnesium, right? Don't take it because you have no idea what form it's in. They don't tell you. Don't take it. Right? There's magnesium chelate. This chelate means that magnesium has been hooked to typically some sort of amino acid. It's different types of amino acids often. It's not just like one specific amino acid. So it's relatively highly absorbed by the body. There's magnesium citrate, and that's magnesium that's hooked up to citric acid. Anything citrate is going to have laxative properties. So if you're trying to raise your magnesium levels taking magnesium citrate, you're not doing yourself any favors. You're just increasing your body's ability to poop is all you're really doing. You're just drawing water into the intestinal tract, and you're just going to increase your bowel habits. Magnesium glycinate. This is a chelated form of magnesium. This is hooked to a glycine molecule, which is an amino acid, has extremely high levels of absorption and very, 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 very high levels of bioavailability. And it is the ideal form of magnesium for people trying to get to fix a deficiency. That's what we recommend almost 100% of the time is magnesium glycinate. And then lastly, there is magnesium threonate. It's a relatively new form of magnesium. This is very important form if you're trying to get it across the into the mitochondrial membrane into the cell. It's the best one for that. It's also one that will that helps with passing into the blood-brain barrier. There's a lot of really cool stuff with magnesium threonate. It's used for very specific things, but for the most part, we recommend magnesium glycinate as the go-to form of magnesium for people trying to correct a deficiency. Now, you know, like I said, if you're a little constipated, some magnesium citrate can help. And then the last, like we said at the very beginning, magnesium chelate is another form out there. And then the very last form is magnesium chloride oil. I don't really, this is put in oil. It's something that you can rub onto your skin. And anything you put on your skin is basically in your bloodstream in a matter of just a few seconds. Sometimes people have very, very bad digestive issues and they struggle taking magnesium. We may have to go to a magnesium chloride oil to allow them to rub that on their skin as a viable option until we get their gut healthy enough. So that's basically magnesium in a nutshell. I mean, when things to remember, typically, you don't want to exceed 600 milligrams of magnesium. Most of the time, when you get to that level, even if it's not designed to have laxative properties, magnesium may have laxative properties in you when you're taking more than 600 milligrams at a time. So most people, general rule of thumb for health, 300-400 milligrams-ish a day is typically more than enough and won't cause any gut disturbance or anything like that. So That's my take on it. So, in all, for the day, to recap, if you will, magnesium is extremely vital for the body. It's involved in 300 different biochemical reactions, and magnesium deficiency, according to research, is basically tied to basically every illness known to man. You can hook magnesium deficiency to it. There are different causes for magnesium deficiency, things like soil depletion, GMOs, digestive diseases, chronic disease, deficiency symptoms of magnesium, cramps, insomnia, muscle pain, anxiety, high blood pressure, diabetes, fatigue, migraines, osteoporosis. And then people with GI problems, diabetes, and alcohol are the greatest risk of becoming deficient. So that's magnesium in a nutshell, and that is all the time that we have for today. So if you want more information about us, visit our website, theinstituteofnaturalhealth.com. Call us, 314-293-8123. Follow us on Facebook. Message us there. We love to hear questions from you. We're on Instagram as well. We like to communicate with us. Shoot us emails. Send us messages. We'll respond as quickly as we can. So that's about all the time that we have for today. For Wellness 101 and for Aaron, I'm Dr. TJ. Thanks for listening.